and Shazam. We're back. I'm J. Thomas Smith, along with Val Wilson, for March 23rd, 2014. And in this segment of the program, we have Holly Charles, the author of Velvet, the issue of colorism. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Also, later on in the segment, at any moment now, we're expecting a call in from Dr. Mary Shaw. She'll be talking about National Women's History Month. And in the meantime, we're going to dialogue with Holly on this book. It's a nice cover.
Thank you very much. An artist by the name of Sophia McConan actually helped out with that cover. She did an amazing job, and Devin Venters also helped in that.
Who's that on the cover?
She's actually someone in my lineage. Velvet is all about the women in my family. I actually interviewed my 79-year-old grandmother for about 6 months so I could do my creative thesis in order to settle my graduation requirements at Prairie View. And we went all the way back to 1918 to present and explored all of those different things.
Wow, 1918,
yes,
boy.
Yes, to present.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Unless you were born in 1918, that was really a long
time. Not exactly. No, sir.
No, but so you just graduated from Prairie View A&M?
Yes, in May.
In May, okay. And they have a nice, this thesis looks nice.
Yes, the artwork
and all. And so you were, and your major was English?
English. Yes, English. And I chose, instead of finishing courses, I wanted to do independent study. And I decided that I wanted to do a creative thesis versus the research thesis. Mm-hmm. And with the creative thesis, I was able to do prose or poetry or whatever it was that I wanted. And I decided if I'm going to spend the next 6 months of my life doing something, I wanted it to be purposeful. And I started exploring those relationships closest to me. And I started thinking about my relationship with my mother. And I thought, man, you know, there's this common tug of war between mothers and daughters, particularly in the African-American community, because it's so complicated. So originally my thesis was Velvet, the Burden of Melanin in Motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up using that, and I just kind of went with it, and I got my grade, and then decided maybe this is something that could be published.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is great, though. So the book is Velvet, and let's talk about the issue of colorism. Is that a issue that's, are you dealing with it from the perspective of black folks, or just in general?
Colorism specifically deals with what's happening within the community.
Okay.
You know, there's this, you know, we talk about racism a lot, but mm-hmm. we don't talk a lot about what happens with colorism and this issue of light versus dark, mm-hmm. of quote unquote good hair, which, any hair that grows out of my head is good.
If you got hair, it's good.
And even if you don't, it's good, right? It's good to be alive. So we talk about these things over and over in the book because they keep coming up. A lot of times what happens is a mother can only mother based off of her fears and her experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the issue of racism, how it's kind of infiltrated our own community, you know, you think about something starting in 1918, and some of these curses have been dragging on, and it's 2014, and we're dealing with some of the same things, which is a mother saying, don't play in the sun too long.
So it goes to, you're saying it's cyclic, it goes from generation to generation.
Generation to generation.
Issues are passed on.
Absolutely. And the very first character that you see in the book is Ludi, and she has this issue where she was told that she was a devil. She was ugly. She was black, and she was too black to be pretty.
Mercy.
You know, and these things are still, black is beautiful.
Yeah. Lupita, she was beautiful.
Lupita is beautiful. But the issue is that she's such a standout because we're not recognizing women like her. You know, of course she's beautiful. I think it's amazing that we're embracing her, but how often do we do it? And that's something that's been passed down, is that you can't be that black and that beautiful. And you know, I beg to differ, and those are some of the things we deal with throughout the novel.
Where do the issues come from? Where do the issues of a colorism come from? How do they get so deeply ingrained in the psyche?
I believe that when you think about the slave mentality,
mm-hmm.
And you look at, there was a point where the authority is telling us that black is not beautiful, and then they pass that down to their children.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell a 2-year-old child, if you look up at the sky and say the sky is pink, why would the child challenge that? If you've taught me everything else, if I'm supposed to rely on you for everything else, why would I not rely on your truth? And what happens is you give that truth, and they continue to pass that down. And we've continued to do this over and over again. Now, maybe it's not as brash and as crass and as harsh as it is at the beginning of my novel, you know, that starts in 1918. Mm-hmm. But we're still hearing some of those same things today. There are still dark-skinned women who are hearing things like, you're pretty for a dark-skinned woman.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that scene in The Color Purple with mm-hmm. the Suge type. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Would you like to read a passage from this?
I would love to read a passage.
Yeah, why not? I think let's read directly from
the book.
Our phone number, folks, is 713-390-5102, 713-390-5102. You may have a question of, of our guest, Holly Charles. We're talking about the book Velvet Colorisms, a colorism, and it was the basis of her thesis, but now a book. What while you're getting ready for that, what were some of the conflicts that you had with your mother, as you mentioned earlier?
As the book goes on, we don't simply stick to colorism. We stick to some of those things as far as evolving views on womanhood and on motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2014. The views of what a woman is, and particularly what a black woman is, and how she should be as a wife, those things are going to gradually change. They have to, because times are changing. And a lot of the tug of war that I have with my mother is not that we don't get along. I have an extremely close relationship with my mother. I love my mother. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to figure out what to accept and what to reject. It's hard to emulate someone that you love mm-hmm. for so long, and then at the same time, make your own way.
It was interesting. I was listening to a show on the BBC yesterday, and they were in a village in Africa, and I don't even remember the exact country they were in. I should say on the continent of Africa, but they were in a country, and there was the issues of the women being treated differently from the boys, and the boy could have girlfriends, the girls could not have boyfriends, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it was just very interesting again, and that was part of what the dialogue was about. When the daughter was being interviewed, the fact that she and her mother had these conflictive issues, mm-hmm. especially with her dad. He really didn't want her going on dates. Mm-hmm. And so, those conflicts, I mean, that has evolved over mm-hmm. generations. It's probably the same. Maybe when your mother was a child, perhaps she could not date. I'm just saying those issues are, some issues are intergenerational. They continue to go on. But just the fact that in that story that I, heard yesterday, I mean, it's going on right now. Today.
Absolutely.
So that was very interesting.
I think that we like to push it under the rug. I think we like to pretend that since things are changing, that things have changed completely. And mm-hmm. that's something that we have to move away from. I don't think anyone should wallow in it. I don't think anyone should be sad. I think that what we should do is recognize it first so that we can move on from it. I'm seeing so many issues with women. The very first time I did an excerpt reading, I had about 40 plus women in a room together, and you could tell that they had never had an opportunity. As a matter of fact, some of them came to me and said, crying, I'm so happy that you did this because I've never had an opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about abandoned children and things of that nature.
Okay.
But we never talk about what happens when mama loves me so much that she puts her stuff on me.
Yeah, you say, mama, you tripping.
And mama's not tripping. She's coming from a place of hurt usually,
Yeah. Let's go to the telephone right by, and let's go to line one. You're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1 with Holly Charles. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate America, y'all talk about colorism. However, I'm a African-American. However, I work with some Russian women, and they're very demanding, and they talk to me in a dehumanizing manner, and they tell me that I...
Just turn your radio down, please.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Just turn your radio down so you don't hear you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
American.
Are you playing a tape? Go ahead. We heard that part. We heard the part about the Russian women being very demanding. Okay? We got to that point. Go ahead.
And while I'm trying to work and be a professional, however, she always snatches stuff out of my hand and bamming stuff on my desk and tells me that I think I'm white because my hair is curly and I'm pretty.
Oh, wait a minute. Where do you work?
I work in a doctor's office.
Oh, wow. Well, it seems like a couple of things got to happen. You may want to start keeping a journal, but continue.
However, I am keeping a journal of everything that's going on. However, I don't know how to deal with her because that's really not my style of dealing with her cantankerous behavior. I don't want to do that one, but I want to keep my job.
What?
I was going to say, first of all, that sounds really, really, I think you should be documenting, like he said before. That's something that you should be documenting. But don't let it become a color issue. I think this is something where you have to stand up and be confident about who you are and continue to walk in your own ministry. I always tell people we all have a personal ministry, so you have to continue to be who you are and don't let anyone push you out of character.
You know what? I've been working for this one client for 8.5 years, and he gave me a referral to this client. However, and I don't want to destroy his business relationship, but another thing, I'm going to a firm believer of standing who I am and what I stand for. My integrity is intact, but...
Well, let me just say this. I know you have an issue that we don't have enough time to discuss on the air, but number one, you know, I can remember back when... I'm flashing back to childhood now. You know, one of your siblings would make some demand on you, and you would say, "You ain't the boss of me." Okay, but the point is, unless this is your supervisor, and even is your supervisor, you got an issue. And if your supervisor is allowing this to be, then you are in a hostile work environment. So you have one of two choices. You can either leave, or if you want to stay, you need to do what you need to do to rectify the situation. And if the supervisor is unwilling to rectify the situation, then you might have an EEOC issue. I mean, but that being said, you know yourself, you know who you are, and certain things you will tolerate and certain things you won't. You have to draw the line at some point.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck to you. My goodness. Boy, oh, my goodness. I don't know what to say about that. 10:16, 16 past 10 o'clock. Would you share a passage with us before?
I would love
to. Because time is short here.
Okay. Maybe,
yeah, I just sense it's going to be so good.
Okay. And I'm just going to read a passage from the very first chapter of the book called Stones.
Mm-hmm.
I would think to myself, what is skin really? I mean, I know it keeps the inside in and the outside out, but what is it really? What does it do besides bear heavy slaps from stepmothers and give white folks reason to treat me like a beast? My skin was so black and offensive, I learned that you didn't have to be all the way white to curl your lip in disgust at me. My black was usually smooth and shone brightly with perspiration in the Texas sun. I was often called shiny by the other children in the play area. I had always heard the word shiny assigned to very wonderful things, though. Shiny hair bows, clean fruit, polished loafers and coins. So when I first bore witness to this queer nickname, I slowly curled my lips into a graceful smile. Thinking it a term of endearment, I bashfully held the hem of my dress while rotating left and right before the group of children. Like a choir, though, they all laughed in harmony.
Wow, that is so nice. How did you come to develop an interest in writing?
It's always been therapeutic. I never thought that I would be a writer. It was just something that I did when I wanted to get something out. The paper is not judgmental. It doesn't laugh at you. It was just something that I always did. And technically, I wrote a piece from Velvet before I even graduated, before I even was thinking about doing the creative thesis. I had written down something about a conversation that I had with my mother. About those evolving views on marriage, about what she thought a marriage was and what I thought a marriage was. And we had this conversation where I realized we weren't speaking the same language.
Mama, you tripping.
And she wasn't tripping. You know, she was passing down her jewel, really, yeah. Honestly, and I can appreciate that now. Mm-hmm. I had to learn to appreciate who she is and realize, you know, I think we wake up in the morning and we think that Mama was born the same day that we were. She had a life before me.
Yeah.
And I had to realize that, and then she had to start realizing that, you know, I have a life outside of her. So we had to come to this understanding. But I started writing about that, and I ended up, you know, pulling it from out of a drawer where I throw a lot of things that I write.
Yeah.
And then I said, this could work for my thesis. And that's when I started calling my grandmother, who's 79, and just said, hey, tell me about your mother.
Yeah.
And then it just ended up being a series of vignettes. I kept writing about all these women, most of whom I had never met. And she was telling me, oh, this one had a problem with skin color. This one had a problem with hair care and things like that.
Let's go to line one. You're on Sunday Morning Live on Magic 102.1 with Holly Charles. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning, both of you?
Good morning.
Great.
What I'm trying to, I have a daughter. She's extremely beautiful. She's extremely dark, but she has a pre-med biology and chemistry degree. But all her life, no matter how beautiful, how much I told her she was beautiful, she still thinks she's ugly, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Even, you know, how to, even though she's older, she makes the wrong choices in men based on because she thinks she's not beautiful.
I think what's interesting is that it doesn't matter how many degrees we hold. Like I said earlier, a lot of times that first voice of authority tells us their truth, which oftentimes is a lie that's been passed down from generation to generation. She has to make a conscious decision, a conscious effort to say that I don't have to take someone else's truth as my own. An analogy that I like to use with people is I say, you know, in order for women to beautify ourselves, a lot of times we exfoliate, you know, we take those beads and we rub things off of us, because if we don't, then we're going to be lifeless and dull and dry and flaky and all these things that we don't want. In order for us to renew ourselves, we have to exfoliate. What's happening is, metaphorically, we're not exfoliating. We're still holding on to things that grandmama was talking about back in 1918 and beforehand. And we're still kind of perpetuating these lies that a slave master has given us. Now, yes, it's sloughed off a little bit over time, but it's time for us to really, really exfoliate so we can renew ourselves. So we can start saying, you know what? That is not the truth. It was a lie. Your truth can be different from someone else's, but you have to remember that those people are coming from a place of hurt, and you have to decide not to be hurt by it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's not an overnight process.
But the point of it is, I've never told her. I've always told her, even though some of my children are a little lighter than the other. The point of it is, I've never, all my kids.
But it didn't have to. But it didn't have to be you. Society has told her that.
Absolutely.
All she had, watching television. Oh, well, I don't see anybody
that looks like me.
You know, and so on. Yeah, everywhere you go to the big office building, and there's nobody in the reception area that looks like you. Nobody walking through the halls that look like you. So, yeah, it life has given her that picture.
And unfortunately, you're not the only authority.
I'm 64 years old. So I grew up with that stigma, but my dad told me, girl, you're the most beautiful chocolate girl. My dad is three shades lighter than I am. And he told me, girl, you're the most beautiful chocolate girl I've ever seen. And I took that all through my life. I don't care. I'm heavy set, but I look good. I'm me.
Have mercy.
Yeah. Now, there's a documentary by Bill Duke. It's called Dark Girls. That's perhaps something that you and your daughter could sit down and watch.
Yeah.
And then also on the Oprah Winfrey, and Ayanna Van Zandt recently did a whole show about colorism and the same issues that many African-American women, I don't say suffer with, but experience. So that's a start. And also, you know, perhaps a good counselor.
Yeah.
Someone that she can sit down and talk these things out with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she need to do a self-history.
But I can't make her go. She's 34, so I can't.
Well, but, you know, as far as, hey, let's watch this documentary together, Dark Girls, Bill Duke, or, hey, there's this episode of Oprah that I'd like to sit down with Oprah and Ayanna Van Zandt. And perhaps that's a way to at least start the conversation.
Start the conversation.
Yes.
And that's what I've loved about Velvet is that, look, reading the book is not going to solve everyone's issues, but it is... Everything in this book is what I call a common tragedy.
Yeah.
We think tragedies are something that happen, you know, once in a lifetime. No, common tragedies are every day when you have a mother influencing her poorly, you know, saying that, you know, you don't want to get too dark, you know, or you don't want to be too light. So a book like Velvet is actually supposed to start the conversation. So read books like Velvet. Look at Dark Girls. But force yourself to have the conversation.
And where can we find Velvet, Holly?
Velvet is available online on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, eBay. It's pretty easy to find right now.
Yeah.
Gift her with the book.
Gift her with the book and have a conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate you this morning. Good luck to you, okay? All right. Let's take one more phone call. Let's go to line one and talk with Zachary. You're on Sunday Morning Live. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for our Holly?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Ms. Charles. How
good
you doing?
Morning, Zachary. I'm great. How are you?
I'm just great. I just had a comment because I'm tall, dark, and I have like broad nose. I have a large nigger rod features.
as I can say.
You kind of mispronounced that word. She's an English teacher. It's Negroid. You need to get the ER out of that part.
Probably African features. Beautiful features. We can say any of those things, yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy.
But my main thing is this, that a lot of us, when I say us, black people, is projected by the image of God. And if black men believe in God and the God that we worship in is white, which automatic breeds an inferiority complex in each other because we don't look like the God that we serve. So from that standpoint alone, that we've been taught that we're not God-like creatures, then we less than. So that's going to continue out.
Zachary, we kind of morphing into another area of theology, religion, and so forth, I think. But yeah, I mean, that's a separate issue unto itself, you know, religion and the images and so forth of the religion one practices. But you're right, one self-concept has to come from within. They have to change how they think about themselves and how they view themselves in the context of the world and so forth. But we appreciate your input. But I do think those are two separate issues there.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably
a little Thanks, different. Zach. We appreciate you. Keep on keeping on. Okay. It's 10:25. We're gonna have to move on. This colorism. This is a very interesting topic. Just paging through the book is very, very interesting. I believe you can read this book in just one setting. Just turn the alarm
clock
off.
It's a rainy day read.
Yeah, shut your phone off and just get it. Cuddle up in a chair or something with the book, or someone else who's read it. But anyway, just kidding there. But. Get the book. It's Velvet by Holly Charles. You can get it in all the usual places. And Prairie View turns out some great students, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So are you going to be teaching?
I am currently teaching in a high school setting, and I'm an adjunct. Technically, I do dual credit as well.
Okay. Where do you teach?
At Jersey Village High School.
Well, fantastic.
At the Village.
Well, they're lucky to have you. My goodness. Jersey Village High School. Do you encourage everybody to write?
Absolutely. And just to have that outlet. I've been blessed to have that outlet.
Yeah.
I've been blessed to be a blessing to other people. One thing that I do want to say is that Velvet is more of a movement. This is not about me having a book.
Sure.
The conversations that I've seen and the emails that I've been receiving have let me know that people have an experience. They're not just reading a book, and that's what I want to happen. So I encourage everyone. And if you have a book club, you can go to Velvet, the novel at yahoo.com, and I'd be more than willing to come and do a literary talk with you.
Holly Charles, Velvet, get the book. Thank you so much for being a part of the program.
Thank you very much.